Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
We meet John the Baptist early in the Gospel of John. Verse 6, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light. He came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, and he did not deny. He confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" "No, I am not." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. Why? What do you say about yourself?" And John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the ways of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. It's the gift of Holy Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And John was baptizing with joy, incredible joy, as every one of those people came up out of the water, having confessed their sins, that burden gone, tears of joy in their eyes. And John would laugh with them, filled with joy. And he thought about the very first time he had experienced that joy. Very early in his life, growing up with Jesus. So he and Jesus were born just 3 months apart. And I imagine that they grew up very close to each other. Their mothers were dear friends and relatives. And I imagine they played in the dirt with rocks and sticks. Little known fact, little boys, as far back as we know, made truck sounds with rocks. And John and Jesus were making truck sounds with their rocks, playing with the sticks in the dirt, as their mothers baked bread at the communal oven. And as they grew, John started to feel this incredible call. How do you describe that to somebody? God's calling your life. Words fail, but Jesus knew. Jesus knew exactly what John was talking about. So they had a language they could speak that nobody else could understand. And as they grew, John realized that Jesus was more than just a friend, more than just a brother, more than a spiritual mentor. And now today, John approaching his 30th birthday, filled with joy, baptizing people, laughing with them, but filled with joy because the one he knew, the one that ever since he could remember, he had been calling Rabbi, that one was here somewhere amongst the crowd. And the Pharisees and the scribes came up to John and they said, "Who are you?" And he laughed. "You think I'm the Messiah? I'm not the Messiah, but I know him. Oh, do I know him?" You see, John did know Jesus. John knew Jesus so well he could finish his sentences. He knew what he was thinking. He had done life with him. They had a deep relationship. He had felt the Holy Spirit pouring off of Jesus, like water cascading over a waterfall. So he could say with assurance as he looked at the scribes and Pharisees, "I'm telling you, I am not the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to get down on my knees and untie the thong of his sandals." But he is here, one amongst you whom you do not know. One amongst you whom you do not know. It was like a slap across the face. The Pharisees reeled backwards. Nobody could say anything like that to them. If the Messiah was coming, they would know about it. They knew the who's who of Jerusalem. They knew every child prodigy. They knew every teenager that showed signs of being able to rule this country, this people. They knew every single face pictured in all of those pictures in Arkansas Celebrate magazine. They knew the who's who. If the Messiah was here, they would know about it. So they recoiled as if John was attacking them. But they didn't know. They just thought they knew. They had spent all of their lives memorizing Scripture, and they had memorized it. They knew every word of the Old Testament. Think about that. By the age of 15, the scribes and Pharisees had memorized the entire Old Testament, could recite it at will. But they didn't know God. They knew about God. It was all in their head, but it hadn't descended into their hearts. They didn't know the nature of God. See, the nature of God is always to do something completely and utterly unexpected. Look for the unexpected to find God. It's always been that way. So instead of hearing the words that John spoke as the literal truth they were, they took it as an insult. And they responded, "John, who do you think you are? What gives you the right to baptize? What gives you the right to forgive sins? If you were a prophet, you would know that only God and the temple priests can forgive sins, and only in the temple. Those are the rules." See, what John was doing was terribly dangerous from their perspective. John was turning the world upside down. If people could be forgiven simply by asking for forgiveness, all of their power was gone. All of their income was gone. Revenue stream dried up. Not only that, it was dangerous. John was telling people they were forgiven, even though God hadn't forgiven them. And they knew that was true because they knew the rules. But they didn't know God. They couldn't see that God so often does the unexpected. They couldn't see that God cares nothing about human power. Because if God wants someone to have power, God will lift that person up. When God wanted to form a people, a nation of priests to be the salt and the light to the entire world, who did God call? The Hebrews. The Hebrew word is a pejorative. Jewish people do not like to be called Hebrew. It means slave. It means brown-skinned slaves. It means those people. You see, the people that the Egyptians had captured for 400 years were all collectively called the slaves, the Hebrews. God called those people, the no ones, the nothings, into the desert and said, "You are my beloved children. I am forming you into a nation." And who is the guy that he sent to get them? A murderer. A murderer called out by his own people. His own people said, "We're going to turn you in for murder." So Moses goes into the wilderness for 40 years, and he was a shepherd. A shepherd. Oh, a shepherd. They didn't own any land. They had nothing. They were nomads. In fact, their sheep ate the grass from people who actually owned the land. Nobody liked shepherds. God lifted up Moses. The guy stuttered. He couldn't speak. God said, "You go talk to Pharaoh, the most powerful king in the world. This is how God works. And when God wanted to raise up a king for this people, when this people needed an icon, God lifted up a lowly little shepherd boy, the youngest of all of his brothers. Couldn't even wear the armor of the king. Looked like a child inside of it. But this child became the greatest king the Jews ever had because of faith in God. David's stone crushed the skull of the greatest warrior the Philistines had, a giant of a man named Goliath. That's what God does, the unexpected. And today, a child, 13, 14-year-old girl, Mary, willing to accept the unexpected. A man standing in front of her. I am the angel Gabriel. Interesting. Okay. Mary, you are going to bear the Son of God. And with complete and utter faith, because she knew God in her heart, not just in her mind, Mary said the words that we will remember for eternity. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Who is this little Mary? What did she do to deserve this honor? How had she crafted her life so that God would recognize her? What is the list of things she did so we can do the same? Well, if you ask the temple priests, if you ask the people from Jerusalem, she was a nobody. She was a nothing. Because she came from that land of Nazareth. And everybody in the big city knew nothing good came from Nazareth. It's like growing up in Arkansas. I'm sorry, sir. I realize you spent your entire life here. And Marinelle, that you were born here. But people from the big city, they don't think much of us here. And I know this is going to be so hard to understand, but the people in the big cities, they think we marry our cousins and that we don't wear shoes. That's what the Jewish people in Jerusalem thought of Mary and all the people in Nazareth. They thought they came from Arkansas. What did Mary do? She didn't do anything. That's what she had. She had faith. She had utter faith in God. That yes, this might be unimaginably difficult, but God would be with her through this. And life might be unimaginably difficult for us, but with just a little bit of faith, a mustard seed size grain is all God needs. God can help us to experience the unexpected joy. The gift of joy, like one stepping out from the crowd whom we did not know, surprising us, shocking us. In June, I did the 8:45 service here, got in my car and headed for Little Rock, Hot Springs. I had spent the last 2 years as a provisional elder, meaning provided I didn't do anything really bad, I would be fully ordained. And I had to go down for the meeting where all of the other elders, the other pastors voted as to whether to accept me or not. And I was hungry because I got out of here, shot straight down, got to Russellville. There's an Arby's, the only place that I eat. Pulled off the side. Can't find my wallet. Where's my wallet? Oh, that's right. I got it out. I put it underneath my coat. There it was in my passenger seat. But as I was pulling over to the side, this car squirts in front of me and shoots right up into the line in front of me. And that car looked like it came from Arkansas. And that's what I was thinking about that person. There truly is a person from Nazareth cutting in front of me like that. And as I pull up with my newly found credit card to hand to the lady at the window, she says, "Oh, no, sir, you don't need to pay. That young lady paid for you." Oh. Oh, but the joy. At the same time, I heard God laughing. When are you going to learn, Eric, that I can step out and do the unexpected anytime, anywhere? And I wanted you to have a special lunch on this day. At Arby's. But it was free. And I learned a lesson. That God can step out at any time. As the form of anyone. And surprise us with joy. You've probably all seen the videos of the soldiers returning home unexpectedly. Their family arranges for dad to meet the daughter at the basketball game or whatever. And you just see this unbelievable joy. Oh, that's what it's like. That's what it looks like.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.